This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, offering asset protection and security through insurance. Home, auto, boat, life. Information from a real live person who's in the same phone book as you. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance at 772-3858.
Going to do the Pledge of Allegiance first, and then we will do our student presentation, and then we will determine a quorum because one of our board members is in Canada, and so she'll be calling in, and that's a lot of international minutes. So, so please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, and we have today with us Mr. Greg Kowalski and Stephanie Power. They're both fourth grade teachers in the elementary school, and they will present Alaskan physical relief maps showcasing their science and social studies unit, and the students will also recite fall
Pentuum
poems that they have written, so we're going to go on the other side. Oh, okay.
You can see them.
You guys can sit in those chairs.
Stand them wherever you want.
How about two of you on this side? You guys, one on this side, one on this side.
My name is Alex. I will be presenting Alaska Landforms and Oceans. Paint drying, clay hardening, this is how we built our Alaska landforms and oceans. First, we had to paint lots of bodies of water, like the Arctic and Pacific Oceans, Bering and Beaufort Seas, and Gulf of Alaska. The oceans, gulf, and seas had four different colors, light blue, medium blue, dark blue, and medium blue and white mixed. We had to paint the shoreline, 0 to 5,000 feet, 5,000 to 10,000 feet, and over 10,000 feet. When we were painting, we had to start at the shoreline and finish at under 10,000 feet. Secondly, there was the mountain ranges that we built and painted. There are four different ranges, the Alaska Range, the Brooks Range, Coast Range, and the Aleutian Range. The Brooks Range is the northernmost range in Alaska. The Coast Range has the most cyclonic storms than anywhere in the world. Lastly, there was the rivers to draw, like the Yukon, Tanana, Stikine, and many more. Also, the Yukon River is the longest and largest river of all in Alaska. The Yukon has many tributaries like Porcupine and Tanana. Markers squeaking, labels printing. The map was hard work, but totally worth it.
Hello, my name is Noah Powick, and I will be presenting the legend and the compass rose. To create the legend, we used these simple steps in the Pages software. First, we took a square out of the shape selector. Next, we made the square into a rectangle. In this process, make sure to make the height to be shorter. This formed the entire shape of the legend. The next step required duplicating small rectangles with the Command D keyboard shortcut. First, we duplicated the small rectangle once and turned the first one brown and the second one yellow. These represent the highest and lowest elevations on the mountains. The dark green is below
sea level. The light green takes up most of the map. It represents 0 to 5,000 feet on land. Next, we use the command D 3 times and change the colors from the lightest to the darkest blue. These represent the oceans from the most shallow to the deepest. The lightest one wasn't in the legend. It represents some harbors in Alaska, also the shoreline. Last, we put the word legend on the top. That is how we created the legend and what it represents. The second one will be the compass rose. Here are some steps, fabulous and magnificent, to create a compass rose using the Pages software. First, we took a circle from the shape selector. This was used as the center of the compass rose. Once we placed it, we shrunk it just a little. The reason it had to be shrunken was because the circle wouldn't have been small enough to fit on the map. Second, we took a triangle and stretched it out to make it taller. We duplicated it once and put the triangles up and down. We did this again with 2 more triangles and put them horizontally. Next, we labeled the cardinal directions, which are north, east, south, and west. However, we had to do these steps again with small triangles and putting them diagonally. We labeled these directions as southeast, southwest, northwest, and northeast. Those are the cardinal and intermediate directions are the only directions on the compass rose. That is how we created the magnificent compass rose.
The Arctic Ocean, the Beaufort Sea, and the Pacific Ocean are many different areas in Alaska. We will start with number 1, the Bering Sea. The Bering Sea is a northern extension of the Yukon River. Covering 2 million square kilometers, or 775,000 square miles, and the sea ends in the Bering Strait. Number 2, the Arctic Ocean. The Arctic Ocean is an awesome body of water, ice water. The Greek explorer Pytheas sailed near the ocean in 300 BC. This is what I always divide the ocean into 7 seas. This is why some people refer to some areas of the ocean as the 7 seas. Number 3, the Beaufort Sea. The Beaufort Sea is on the far edges of the Arctic Ocean. In 1968, large supplies of oil reserves were discovered in Alaska's Prudhoe Bay area. To transport that oil, the 800-mile-long Trans-Alaskan pipeline was completed in 1977. Number 4, the Pacific Ocean. The Pacific Ocean has an arm, the Gulf of Alaska. It covers 46% of Earth's water surface. It also has some of the deepest water in the world. But all these places have one thing in common. You can't touch the bottom. So don't even try. The end.
Three of the fantastic Alaskan rivers we studied were the Tanana, the Yukon, and the Stikine rivers. The first river we studied is the Tanana River. The river is a tributary of the Yukon River and is 584 miles long. The name is from the Koyuk language pronounced Tenano. It passes through the village of Manly Hot Springs and empties into the Yukon River near the town of Tanana. The second river we studied was the Chili Stikine River. This is close to our hometown in Petersburg, Alaska. The Stikine River is 984 feet deep and 335 miles long. Stikine is an Indian word that means great river. The third river we studied was the Yukon River. The Yukon is the biggest river in Alaska. With freezing cold water and giant salmon, the Yukon is a great place to visit. All the rivers we studied have one thing in common. When the water is rough, it can be really dangerous.
Peyton. going to tell you about the mountain ranges. The different Alaskan mountain ranges we studied were the Coastal Range, the Brooks Range, the Aleutian Range, and the Alaskan Range. The first range is the Coastal Range. It is one of the rainiest places in Alaska, and we live close by. The Pacific Ocean flows by, it bringing rain. The rain runs from Alaska to the Canadian border and then the lower 48. The second range is the Aleutian Range. It has several volcanoes like Mount Redoubt and Mount Illimani. The tallest mountain in this range is Mount Redoubt, which is 10,197 feet tall. This mountain range has the same latitude as England. The third range we studied is the Alaska Range. It is 400 miles long. It has the tallest mountain in the United States, which is Denali, at 20,310 feet. This range runs through caribou country, and you can find herds of caribou hiding by an oil pipeline trying to get away from hungry mosquitoes. The last mountain range we studied was the Brooks Range. The Brooks Range is the highest mountain range in the Arctic Circle. This range extends 600 to 1,000 kilometers long. The Brooks Range has mountains that reach up from 8,500 to 9,000 feet tall. Alaska's majestic mountain ranges draw visitors from all around the world.
Okay, the last part of our presentation is some Tantum poems. The Tantum poems came from Malaysia originally, and they're four stanzas, and we love words in my classroom, in our class. And so, learning folks in the sea of language, listen to some of this language that these students have written into their poems.
Hello, my name is Heidi Brantuis, and I wrote a Tantum poem called Autumn, Colorful and Bright. Dimming sunlight signals the coming of winter. Bright, colorful leaves drift calmly to the ground. Pumpkins maturing, orange and round. Pick off the vines, jack-o'-lantern time. Sweet, crunchy candy sticks to your teeth on Halloween night. Bright and colorful leaves drift calmly to the ground. Freezing winds brush your face as you walk. Sweet, crunchy candy sticks to your teeth on Halloween night. Confectioner fills your sweet desires on Hallow's Eve. Freezing winds brush your face as you walk. Witches, goblins, scary ghosts go to the house that give the most. Confectioner fills your sweet desires on Hallow's Eve. Sweet treat wrappers litter the ground on these frightening hours of darkness. Dark sorceresses cackle with delight as wolves howl at the moon. Pumpkins maturing, orange and round, pick off the vine, jack-o'-lantern time. Boing bouncing off the walls on this night. Dimming sunlight signals the coming of winter.
My name is Sophie Cater, and my Pantone poem was called Colorful Call. Colorful fall come. Bright, colorful leaves dance merrily down. Giant pumpkins, orange and round, harvest time. Hard, rushing air boldly penetrates through thin shirts and pants swiftly. Cool, calm breeze whispering softly in my ears. Giant pumpkins, orange and round, harvest time. Shining and crystal, spiderwebs lightly glowing with dew. Cool, calm breeze whispering softly in my ears. Chilly, sparkling rain turns slowly to snow. Shining and crystal, spiderwebs lightly glow with dew. Quickly, quietly, leaflets drift toward the gray cycle. Chilly, sparkling rain turns slowly to snow. Freezing autumn air smells crisp and sweet. Golden jack-o'-lanterns, frightening and creative, everywhere. Hard rushing air boldly penetrates through thin shirts and pants swiftly. Pulling those aged coats, gigantic hats, and comfy gloves out of the attic. Bright, colorful leaves dance merrily down.
Thank you.
Tori Fryan, and my pantomime poem's name is The Night of Halloween. Sweet crunchy candies melt in cold mouths, glowing jack-o'-lanterns on Halloween night. On Hallow's Eve, there are frightening monster costumes, candy corn superior and sweet, glowing jack-o'-lanterns on Halloween night, darting through the streets stealing candy, golden candy corn, delicious and sweet. Trick or treat with your eager friends, darting through the streets stealing candy, goblins and ghosts dashing through the street. Trick or treat with your eager friends. Winter is creeping and getting closer. Gigantic candy bars at Mr. K's gigantic mansion. On Hallow's Eve, there are frightening monster costumes. Trick or treat, tasting, trading together. The sweet, crunchy candy melts in cold mouths.
Thank you.
For those of you at home, it was a full audience, and those kids had some great poise as they stood in front of everybody watching them give their presentations so well and speaking boldly, so it was great to see.
Hello, this is Janine.
Hi Janine, it's Erica, how are you?
I'm well.
Good, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I'm turning you up a little bit, and we'll see if you can hear Mara and everybody else. Maybe I'll move you over back over a little bit.
Okay.
All right. So, Irene, can you please determine a quorum?
Yes. Sarah Holmgren, here. Mara Lutomsky,
here.
Cheryl Pyle,
here.
Jay Lister,
here.
Janine Gibbons,
here.
And Casey Evans
is absent.
Absent.
All right, so we'll move into the approval of the agenda. I move that we approve the agenda as written. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, any discussion changes? Not seeing none. All in favor of approving the agenda, Irene, please call the roll.
Cheryl Pyle.
Yes.
Mara Lutomsky.
Yes.
Janine Gibbons.
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Okay. So we don't have a student representative report, so we'll move on to correspondence. Have we received any correspondence? No correspondence? Any comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? Any comments from the audience related to agenda items? Any comments from board members? And actually, I do have a comment. I'll put it on all of the board members' radar. Our March board meeting is scheduled to be during spring break, so we will need to decide whether we want to keep it that day or move it to the week before or move it to the week after. So that will be on the agenda in February. So
oh, okay. That's what
be
that's
thinking about it. All right.
Okay.
Any other comments from board members? All right, on to the consent agenda. The consent agenda includes December 2017 monthly accounting report. It also includes approval of the regular meeting minutes from December 12th, our last meeting. I move that we accept the consent agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Jay.
Any discussion? Irene, call the roll.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Mara Lutomsky?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgreen?
Yes.
Janine Gibbons?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes. Okay. Moving right into administrative reports. Superintendent Clute Painter.
Okay, thank you. Just what a great way to kick off the new year with all of the wonderful student presentations. So thank you to Mr. Kowalski, Mrs. Powick, and all the wonderful students that came tonight. Reminds us why we are all here, which is really important. Looking ahead, I'm going to a CERC board meeting this week, leaving tomorrow, returning Friday. That's for Southeast Regional Resource Center. And I'm also attending, actually I get off the plane, I drive right to the Department of Ed tomorrow, and there's a meeting with the commissioner about the new state plan, the new ESSA plan, and also the education challenge that with the five goals for the state that the different committees have been working on. So there's an update there, and looking forward to seeing what the next steps are moving forward in the state, so that will be good. We are working on, or you are working on, my evaluation. So in the course of that, we're also starting to work on the principal's evaluation. So we're sending out staff feedback surveys this week. We are also working on the calendar, which will be up for some discussion tonight, and coming up with at least a couple of options to put out there, looking at next year's calendar. So we'll be putting out a survey for staff on that as well. Hoping to get moving forward on some of our strategic planning work groups, getting those up and going as we're moving into the new year. So all of our wonderful volunteers that were part of that committee out there in the community, we're looking forward to pulling you back in, and I think everybody that was on our committee agreed to be part of some of the work groups, so we always appreciate the help and support of our community members. Curriculum work moving forward, PE health and art and fine arts and foreign language this year. We are hoping, or the goal is to have the curriculum all completed and compiled, ready to go by March 23rd, and then we'd like to do another work session on a Friday afternoon like we've done the last couple of curriculum cycles. Looking at March 30th, if that's a possibility, if you could put it on your radar so you have a time to really hear it, you know, all the way through, ask any questions. We'll post it. It can be open to anybody in the public. Friday the 30th, if that might work for you. That afternoon.
I think all afternoon.
Yeah, probably 2:30 to 3:30 probably. Is that what we did? About 2:30 to 3:30 on March 30th, an hour for review.
Yeah, probably a little longer. The topics, sometimes it goes an hour and a half, but these
okay.
topics also.
Yeah.
So many classes.
You could 2:30 to 3:45. Thank you for that. And also, and I think I'll leave the bulk of this conversation, but I just wanted to mention that right before break, we received some notices, literally like 3 days before break, I think, about capital improvement projects. Some of the projects that have been on the state list and have kind of been frozen for several years. We get letters and say there's funding for those and we're moving forward. So, you know, this is how things work with our legislature. So I'm going to let Dan give more details about that, but it's like exciting, and then you think, oh my goodness, we have a lot of work, more work to do, you know, because it's kind of a short timeline, but it's exciting. So I think they're finally realizing you can only let maintenance and upkeep sit idle for so long before you're just shooting yourself in the foot. So, we are jumping into MAP testing. This is the second round of MAP testing this week and next week. I think middle school, high school this week, and elementary starting
the end
of the week as well. So trying to stagger them out a little bit. And I think day one went fairly well from what I'm hearing. So that's good. CTE monitoring is coming up this month, and Mr. Dormer can probably talk a little bit more about it. But our career technical program, they come out to the district and do an on-site visit, and they have lots of pieces and parts for interviews and looking at our aquaculture and vocational programs and that sort of thing. I think that might be enough. That's it.
All right.
Thank you.
Principal's report, Ms. Terry Tolan.
Good evening. It's nice to be back and in the swing of things. I think students and staff all enjoyed our holiday break, and it's good to be back and teaching kids. In December, I mentioned in December's meeting that we were going to have a holiday program for parents, and we did that, and I think it went over quite well. We had lots of parents, and the kids enjoyed doing it. Teachers didn't have to spend a lot of time in preparation, but it went over really well, and plans are to do this again next year. And currently we're preparing for our MAP testing. This will be our second round. I think teachers and all of us are more confident and comfortable with the testing process, and we're excited to get this second data point, as it will show growth, and teachers will then be able to go in and figure out ways to help each student reach their potential. Coming up this month, we have RTI conferences in Anchorage. That is Response to Intervention. We have some teachers from our school, Becky Martin, Carrie Curtis, Mary Midkiff, and Greg Kowalski going. Then there's a few from the middle school and high school. Can't remember who those are, but this Response to Intervention is ways that we search to help struggling students, and also students who are exceeding expectations. But it's a really good conference in Anchorage, so we're happy that they can go up there. Thank you very much to administration, the district office, for supporting that. Coming up in February, we'll be putting this out quite often. We're going to have our Hawaiian Hangout, and that is the fundraiser for our Partners in Education group, and Student Council is helping with that. So that is on February 16th from 5:30 to 7. It will be $5 a person or $20 per family, and we're asking that all children be accompanied by an adult, and we'll have ways to sign up for helping with that on Facebook. We'll put it out asking for help, so if you see that, find a time that you can come in and help. That'd be great. So we're on to a great new year. So are there any questions?
I do, but I don't know that it's necessarily your area, but when I was at work during the holiday concert, I thought, how great would it be if we could stream the holiday concert? Some of our other events. Is that very difficult in the auditoriums? Do you know?
Yes and no. We've typically mostly what we run into is, for lack of a better word, manpower, woman power, people power, to do it. The auditorium is an easier place to do streaming because you typically can, there's one spot that you can put it. We have the capability to do it, but it often is people and time is what we run into. So we've kind of at this point held it to high school activities at this point, but it's mostly that. I mean, it's mostly a time, and you know, we have the YouTube channel, we have the equipment, it's... we need to hire a full-time camera person. That's what we keep running into with our activities at the gym and everything else. We've tried to figure out ways to compensate our kids. We have some kids that are really good at doing the streaming work and that sort of thing, too, videography class or whatever. We're recruiting middle school kids even and training them. But it still requires an adult, usually my husband, or Mr. Engel, or other people. Mr. Cabral, Mr. Dormer, other people. So it's not impossible at all. It's just those are some of the logistical issues. So
yeah. Okay. Glad you enjoyed it.
Great.
All right, Principal Rick Dormer.
Hello, good evening, Happy New Year, all that stuff. Yeah, what is Principal Tones had a great break for students, administrators. It's a nice time to rest and, of course, spend time with friends and family in a wonderful community. Does such a great job of celebrating the holidays. That was awesome. Right before that, I know we met, seems fairly recently just because of the break, but I know we met, but some great concert there. I think I saw several of you there. Awesome. Hope you enjoyed those. Those were wonderful. Congratulations, of course, Matt Lenhart, and then, of course, just our very talented students and their families. Awesome. I always enjoy those. Holiday concerts are great. We did get through a finals week, so congratulations to the students and the teachers, and went well, very smooth, actually. It's great. And then of course, you heard, and just sort of great thing to finally come to fruition was the Community Service Learning Day for the high school kids, the Friday before break, and have kids all over the place serving and enjoying each other, and staff getting out, and we've heard a lot of positive feedback from the community, and again, we really did it to probably twofold, as they can see, of course, just a small attempt to get back, give back to the community that gives so much to our school and supports us, but then also we... Learning to serve a community is an educational piece as well, and we've strived for many years to try to do it, and this is just one way to do that. So, and the kids had a great experience from what I heard. But the majority of kids really had a good time, were able to serve others, and so cool. So really,
The bell ringers were jamming.
That's what I heard, some rhythm and some singing and moves and everything. Ginger Evans and Carly Byer put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to make that happen, as well, of course, teachers organizing and going out and just being part of it as well, right after going 4 days of finals. So thanks to them and for getting that going. So it was cool. Okay, it was a good thing to go. Then we had a break, and coming back, we have jumped right in, as the superintendent alluded to. It is today and tomorrow are just crazy. It's nice, busy, crazy days in the high school. We want to get to our MAP testing and have a chance to assess students with these kind of third-party assessments and really see their skills. And that's a difficult thing in the high school because we only assess ninth and 10th graders. So it leaves half of the school not testing, you know, in large blocks of times. And so some really teachers have stepped up and some creative things. And we're doing some career counseling things and some financial things, some little pieces from some of the careers class, and then also they're doing a little citizenship. We always have strive to do, you know, to work on or making our kids better kids, or some ideas as well as online presence. And so they've been doing some things, kind of interesting. They have a TED talk on from Monica Lewinsky. That rings a bell. Yes, talking about public shaming and kind of what that has done to her life and the shame of all of that. And then they're linking it with another one for Twitter shaming, to kind of talk about taking that and how that can potently affect someone being publicly shamed and then doing that online and what that can do to people's lives. So, and then some great discussions around it. So really cool, especially for these older kids that are months or just a year and a half away from jumping into the real world. So some really creative ways. Again, really appreciate our great staff for putting all that together. That's cool. So we're doing that, but they are crazy because we got MAP testing, we got this. We're doing some of the Alaska Safe Children's lessons at the end of the day in advisory for, and that is 9 through 12. And that's about the Aaron's Law and the Breeze Law and you know, just being safe and personal responsibility and some of the sexual pitfalls of the dating, some of the horrible things happen there, and following the Alaska statute with that and the approved curriculum that you're all aware of. So been doing that, which is important and great as well. So a couple busy days, and then Thursday we'll be back to life as normal in the high school. So we'll see kind of how this goes. And then the middle school is doing MAP testing at the end of the week, and that's great too, get through that. And it's a little easier because the entire school does it, so you can kind of stop, pause, and then get back to studies a little easier that way. And then as we get through the month, well, next week we'll be doing, Mr. Cabral and I will be doing pastries with parents to, I'm sorry, Mrs. Evans is back there. Hi. I'm sorry, I should have pointed to her and we thanked her for her hard work there. There she is. We pastries with parents at 5:15 on Wednesday the 17th, and that's middle school parents, a chance to sit and talk with Mr. Cabral and I for about 45 minutes there, and we'll just talk about life in the middle school and again, trying to just that wonderfully difficult age of adolescence as they're changing a lot, and talk with parents about how things are at the school. So that's a good chance, and that's coming up here next week. And then keep going.
Is that in the evening?
It is the evening, yeah. It'll be right in this room.
Not at 5 in the morning?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, 5:15 p.m., thank you. Yeah, in my mind, I don't comprehend 5:15 a.m.
They're commenting on pastries.
So yeah.
Got it, yes, that's pastries. And again, me, I don't love to get up, and me, I like to eat pastries all day long, so you have to know me to understand. It could be, yeah. 5:15 p.m., go till 6 o'clock, and right here in the library, and we'll have donuts and muffins for people if they want to snack and talk. And then as we get through, yeah, we'll have that opportunity. We towards the end of the month, you heard, we will Perkins, the federal grant dollars we get to support our CT programs, which is aquaculture, obviously a big piece in the shop with metals and woodworking, and then culinary class, and then the CNA class is also, which is every other year class we offer here, is funded through the Perkins funding. We'll have, I think Bjorn himself is coming in. He's a great guy. He's an old science teacher, so we can talk that nerd language for a little bit and play their pocket protectors and then kind of giggle and then get on to what we're doing. He's a great guy. He's a really big old beard and stuff. He's a cool guy. But he'll come down and kind of wonder that. And so we're prepping and giving them some documents to support that. And then we can kind of blow off some steam that following week with the high school play performance. And I saw the name of the Dastardly or something in there, and I hear them rehearsing every day after school, and that's going to be wonderful. That's at the very, very end of January there, a couple performance dates. That's what's coming up for the high school and middle school.
Dastardly Dr. Devereaux.
Thank you, Dastardly Dr. Devereaux. It's going to be great. Any questions for me?
Math testing, how long is it a one-day thing, an hour thing?
Good question. There are three tests. There's a math test, a reading test, and a language usage test. The and we blocked up about an hour and a half for the math test. That was today in the high school, and about the same in the middle school. And then the reading test, about an hour 15, and then language test takes about an hour. We're going to do three times a year, and it kind of gives you this assessment data that we'll use to talk RTI, kind of work on RTI with the students. Yeah. Other questions? Okay, thanks.
Director of Activities, Mr. Jamie Cabral.
All right. Winter in full swing. I love it. Basketball over the break, if you were bored. We are trying our new system of travel this year in our region for basketball. We're doing all of our boys and girls traveling at the same time and staying home at the same time. And so we're trying to think it might be easier for teachers. For planning, and then as well as if we have cancellations like our anomaly of last year of so many games getting canceled. But busy weekends, but super fun and gives us something to do on the weekends. So that's going full swing. Middle school wrestling starting tomorrow. And we also have our jazz group heading down to the Clark College Jazz Festival here in a couple of weeks down in Vancouver. So they'll be heading out. And Ocean Science Bowl will be, before we meet our next time, we'll be heading up to Seward for their competition up there as well. So, and then our next home games, we'll have our Little Norway JV tournament the 25th, 26th, 27th here in January. So more games for our young kids, just not getting as many games as they did before. We got some pretty good teams coming for that one too. So, yeah, winter time, here we go.
That's
so
only JV? Awesome.
Only JVs, yep, yep. And right now we got K-High, Juno Douglas, and Thorn Bay. Cake was going, but now that we have one less ferry, it's hard for them to travel. Yes. So, and then I'll be heading to Sitka Saturday for our winter meetings for our region. So a lot of stuff coming up in the state with classification stuff and all that jazz. So.
And I heard we have a group going up farther north until
warmer weather. Warmer weather, yes. They leave Thursday morning. Our varsity boys and girls basketball are headed to Dutch Harbor. Going to go be playing on Alaska this weekend. So they fly out Thursday, then coming home on Monday. So great experience for them, and kind of jealous of them, actually. And it's 40 degrees there today. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and so kind of fun. And it was it's a rematch of 2 years ago, state championship game for our boys. Our boys in Alaska were in it. So got a nice invite from them, and they're helping us out to get up there, too. So it's a fun trip for them. So we got eight boys, eight girls, and the coaches going up there, too. So fun little trip for them. And they get to do some sightseeing. They got their plan set up already. Visit around the community there in Alaska. And we're trying to do that a little bit more is while we're at these places to get a little bit of a tour. And we actually got a tour of Metlakatla's CTE building that they are, I think, is going to be done here next week. Mm-hmm. And it is a phenomenal CTE building that they built right next to their school. So they have a scuba diving class there. So they've got about 20 kids in scuba diving and two master divers and
principal
Mr. Lindsay teaches the diving class, and they got down to 180 feet while we were down there that morning. And so they just dive off of the where the ferry terminal is, and so they've got everything that they need there. And their shop class is pretty cool too. I mean, we did a 2-hour tour of that place. It was amazing. They haven't bought wood for their shop class in over 4 years. So they harvest it all right there in Metlakatla. They have a little pulper and everything. So kind of cool to see what other schools are doing. So we're trying to do that everywhere we go, trying to have a little tour and see what the other schools are doing.
Yeah.
Kind of unique.
Yeah,
a little cultural experience too at the same time. So, and then our Indian Ed Grant Committee meeting, we met in December. Rachel Letcher and I are kind of leading that and with the help of Superintendent Cook Painter. And we are getting ready to, we have issued out the informational sheets to all of our students who would like to attend the Elizabeth Pranovich Day celebrations and culture of celebrations at Mount Edgecombe in February. So we are looking to head over to Sitka once again, kind of do the same thing we did last time, but add a little bit more. We discussed it a little bit more today, maybe doing some presentations to our entire school on the Native piece and the cultural awareness there, and even maybe in doing something with the elementary school at some point, but just brainstorming ideas so our kids can bring back or even teach the kids what we've learned already before we head out too. So bringing something back to the community too for that group. So kind of fun. That's it. Yeah.
Homecoming moved. Is that correct?
Homecoming moved. Yep. Being on the break was really weird where Wrangell fell this year. So we are moving that to Craig weekend, February 9th, 10th. Yeah, February 9th, 10th. And we're still kind of up in the air with Haynes with their travel schedule and the way the ferry works with them. They are really stuck. And their ferry got canceled today and possibly tomorrow just because of weather. So they're trying to tag along. So we might be playing midweek games or Super Bowl Sunday morning. So we're kind of working it. We're still in discussions of kind of where Haynes will end up there, just on that travel piece. But so we've been home a while. We haven't traveled once yet for basketball. So yeah, it's been interesting and weird at the same time that we haven't left yet. So we'll be traveling a little bit in February. So our last home basketball games will be February 9th, 10th, though. That'll be our last home
last
weekend.
One for the season.
Yeah, last one for the season, 9 and 10. And then after that, it's travel. And then we'll head to regions in Ketchikan. So, yeah. That's it. Anything else? Cool. Awesome.
Thank you.
All right.
Director of Maintenance, Mr. Daniel Tate. We haven't seen you in a few meetings, so welcome.
It's not that I don't enjoy coming.
Oh, no.
Just the way the calendar bounced. I think Superintendent Klupater said it right. Exciting things are happening for the district in the maintenance and facilities world this school year. We received a letter stating that the fiscal year 2018 capital budget bill, SB 23, had passed the legislature this past summer and was signed into law by the governor shortly thereafter. What that bill did is reappropriated essentially $3.5 million into the major maintenance grant fund, which increased the fund balance up to $7.8 million for allocation to school districts for major projects. Therefore, three of our already completed projects were earmarked for these funds. The 2015 boiler replacement project, our 2016 boiler project, and the 2015 gym/mat room LED light project. All total, that's about $92,000 potential return to the district. But the real exciting news is the fact that the $1.6 million food service renovation project that we've been sitting on for, 5 years, was approved.
Wow.
Now, this is, for those listening, this is the full project submitted back in 2013, which expands the main kitchen facilities at the elementary school and creates a dining space with a catering kitchen at the high school. And as most are aware, due to the years of funding deferment, we kind of got started on our own little light version of the project. And we did that 2 summers ago by creating the Viking Cafe, and as of this fall, we had made some progress in the high school kitchen ourselves, the infrastructure. We got the plumbing and the sewer in. The district, though, has endeavored to follow the architect's design as closely as possible just for this potentiality. So I therefore anticipate that we'll have a very smooth handover to the general contractor once one is chosen, so there shouldn't be any big surprises. However, we're faced with the fact that 5 years have passed since the creation of this design, and the district's needs have changed and evolved quite a bit. The district's admin team got together today, and we went over what our needs and goals are, and we're going to make sure those are addressed before this project goes to bid. And it is our hope that we can probably start the construction at both locations this spring and get these doors opened for the new school year at the end of the summer. It's ambitious. But we essentially did the same thing in 2014. At this time of the year, we received word that we were going to get the remodel of the elementary school, and we got it done. It was a push right up through Labor Day, but
yes,
we got it done.
So,
and the scope of this project is just a little bit smaller, so we're hopeful. And as a result of that $7.8 million statewide funding, our lowest scoring CIP projects that have been on the books also for many years have climbed up the ladder accordingly. So now our middle school concrete steps project has moved from the high 20s up to number 10 statewide. And the underground storage tanks has moved up from the mid 30s to number 15. So that's encouraging as well for maybe the next year. We'll see. Well, due to the contract stipulations, the maintenance and custodial staff only had six work days this past holiday, which I would categorize as very productive work days. The first 3 days were devoted to deferred maintenance and some custodial needs, 2 days for training, and then 1 day for basic cleaning. Bathrooms were deep cleaned, but the majority of our efforts went into painting. Classroom door trim was painted at the high school and the middle school. The hallways at the elementary school were done, and also the elementary staff lounge got touched up quite a bit. Electric hand dryers were installed at the elementary school bathrooms to reduce paper usage in the wake of their new hand washing program. And occupancy sensors were installed on the main elementary hallway lights to serve as a test bed for the rest of the district, and also as an effort to reduce our electric consumption. And the initial comments so far have been positive. It may not be common knowledge, but as a small district, we do utilize our custodial staff for light maintenance needs. We also are very fortunate that some on our staff are highly skilled in other areas such as carpentry, and they do execute projects for the district during these breaks. Therefore, the only time we extensively get to deep clean the majority of our spaces is during the summer, and then we respond to the areas that are in need on these shorter breaks. For the 2 days of training, the district provided a professional trainer to come in for our custodial staff, and his name was Mr. Darren Hargraves. He is the Senior Director of Maintenance for the Anchorage School District. Mr. Hargraves has 25 years of experience in the custodial arts. He has served as the Director of Environmental Services for Providence Hospital and also the Native American Hospital. The training sessions lasted about 7 to 8 hours each day, and it consisted of a lecture section and also hands-on demonstrations of cleaning techniques. The topics included cleaning basics for time, effort, and efficiency, OSHA, which covers safety and right-to-know items, cleaning products and general chemistry, equipment use and maintenance, restroom cleaning, carpet cleaning, and hard floor care. Mr. Hargraves was also tasked with evaluating our facilities and our custodial program as a whole. I've seen a draft of that report, and from my interactions with Mr. Hargraves, he did indeed state that our facilities exceed the national standards for classroom care, even surpassing his own schools in some cases. And I will share that final report when it arrives. But in closing, I'd like to share two of his observations from the draft. Given the nature of the environment in Southeast Alaska, it is almost impossible not to have soils enter the school buildings each day. I was encouraged that the workers who attended the training appeared to be truly open to suggestions on how to remove that soil from PSD's facilities each night. And also, as a consultant that has reviewed many cleaning and maintenance programs in Alaska, I am confident that all the elements of a successful program are present in the PSD schools and that the current program is providing a high level of performance. So with that, do you have any questions?
No questions. I just wanted to thank you for all your hard work that you do in getting those projects submitted to the state. I know that it's many hours of papers and
agony.
Answering this question and documenting this and that. So thanks for that. It'll be great to see that come back to us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Deb.
All right, school board committee reports. Curriculum and technology. Sarah, do you have anything to report?
I have nothing to report.
Crisis and policy. Cheryl, has there been any action in those?
Nope.
Facilities, Jay?
No.
Legislative, there was one bill that was pre-filed that has to do with education. Senator Gary Stevens filed a bill that would, if it were passed, would remove the school budgeting from the regular budgeting process at the state with a deadline of April that it would have to be decided on and done by April. So we'll see if that makes any traction. For sure be great if it were put into place. And then all of the rest of the pre-filed bills are not due until Friday, so we'll see if anything else comes up. Negotiations. We have been invited by the Teachers Association to enter into negotiations, although
we need to respond.
And wellness, I don't know if the wellness committee has met.
We did in December again. Second meeting, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And Janine was there.
Janine, do you have anything to report from the wellness committee?
It seems like a lot has happened since then. there's a lot of good things happening.
Great.
That's my report for them.
Lots of good things happening for our wellness. All right, moving on to special recognition. So Petersburg School Food Service Program is featured in issue 33 of The Dirt, which is USDA's Office Community Food Systems e-letter, reflecting the Summer Sunshine Award, which was our food service program award, won that award, the Summer Sunshine Award. And it's regional recognition that brings attention to the summer food service program's best practices in the western states. And so we were featured in that. That's great. Mm-hmm. Good job to Carly Johnson. Yeah, she's.
We'll put the link when it comes on the website. There's a link to it, and it's not up yet. So from their site. So we'll. I just love that there's an e-letter called The Dirt.
That's cool.
I think that is so awesome. I do. I think it's awesome.
There is no old business, so we'll move on to new business, which we have 16.1 property insurance programs. Ms. Susan Erickson of Petersburg Wrangell Insurance will provide an update on insurance trends and answer any questions that we have regarding insurance.
Any questions? Just teasing. Hi, Susan Erickson. Glad to be back here again this year. And thank you for all that each one of you board members do for the staff here, you know, the entire faculty and the students, because you're working really hard to provide a great place for the staff and faculty to work, and also a place that's providing great education and opening all sorts of doors for the students here. So thank you. You know, it's a lot of time, and the community appreciates it. I just want to give you kudos for that, because you don't always hear that. But you know, it was interesting listening to the presentations so far this evening, and I thought, well, there you go. I wonder what people think the insurance broker does. So I'm just going to ask everybody a personal question. Who, so far this evening, has been here and the hair on the back of their neck has just stood up in fear? Nobody.
I thought about it.
Good. That's my job. Because I hear things differently. Your insurance broker, who's listening on Campus Connections, through the radio stories, through the pilot stories, in conversations with all sorts of people in the community, we're thinking, uh-oh, or wow, great. You know, we're thinking how your insurance products feature into what's actually happening here. And I thought to myself, I sure as heck hope that Metlakatla has a really good insurance broker representing them. Diving, 180 feet, students, all sorts of liabilities. But, you know, if you don't think about the insurance side of it, who thought of it, you know? And who
that's
got,
why we have you.
That's right. Who got really excited with Dan's presentation about the guy that came down to talk to our employees about chemicals? I was like, yes, that's perfect. You know, it's educating and keeping our employees safe. And so what your broker does, yes, we go to market and we look at the prices and make sure we're getting value for what our insurance dollars are buying. We're making sure that new products are out there. We're bringing them to our attention. We're buying some. We're not buying some. We're looking for, like, USTs. If we're going to change the USTs, what does that mean for their insurance? You know, and that's just not something that a lot of other people think about. So that's the value that we're hopefully bringing to the board here. All that being said, it was really fascinating. I listened to Dan's presentation about liability issues. You know, everything that he talks about can backfire somehow. And I'm so glad to see all those projects that have been done already rise to the top and be paid for, and now we can reallocate that money for something else, which is going to resolve a situation that hasn't unearthed itself just yet. So I think Erica maybe said earlier, you can ignore a problem for a while, and then all of a sudden you're behind the eight ball, and it's hard to come back from that. So anyway, very interesting. I love being here. I love being involved to the extent that our office is. We're behind the scenes doing stuff that people don't see, except for maybe tonight. So anyway, on to property and casualty insurance. Last year we talked about appraisals were going to be done. I'm going to keep this light too because you guys don't work in insurance, so you're not interested in the details. But anyway, property values are going up. So we're going to see an increase. We just got the first set of appraisals, which had about a 2% increase in value for our main building here, you know, the entire structure and the elementary school, not for the other structures. But so we're going to go up a little bit. They calculated, you know, about $1 million plus in insured value, which is about $1,000. So it's not a huge amount, but we should probably stay on top of our inflation for insuring our buildings. Good idea. Last year we looked at increasing our property insurance deductible. Was it going to be worth it to save some money? It didn't turn out to be worth it. We kept our deductibles where they were, $10,000 for buildings, $5,000 for contents. Where we saw an increase last year was a workers' compensation. The rates were up ever so slightly last year, but the way work comp works in the claim cycle that moves along here, it's a moving target. Some claims hit our what they call experience rating, so we paid more in workers' compensation because we'd had some big claims in the past, which finally catch up. One year comes on, 1 year goes back, so it's always revolving. Let's see, the autos, we're still trying to, and I've got a document that's out to, not an attorney, but to the insurance people, to get approval on before I would distribute it, about something that is more concise and easy for people to understand about, you know, where does Erica's personal insurance start and stop as relates to the district. It's really hard to understand, so I tried to put together what I felt was a succinct document, but I got to get somebody smarter than me to say, I agree with you, or change these words, that kind of stuff. So I'll be getting that to you guys sometime in the next quarter. Loss control this year, I was looking back, and as a matter of fact, just tonight on the news, they had an article on space heaters. As I was remembering, it was really cold last year, too, and it's been cold this year, too, and what do? At least Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, we plug in space heaters. And they're like, you know, the rules that go with space heaters, not under your desk. And there was mine under my desk, you know. No extension cords. Space heaters are a big deal. And you don't always know when they're in use, when they're not. But we have to be wary about safety this time of year with space heaters. So, you know, you can stay on top of that. And I don't know who's in charge of all that. But extension cords in general, they're problems. API did away with their playground grant, so we're trying to maximize the money that's available on that. And Dan had a suggestion for the pitching mound, and I'm not sure if they actually approved that or not.
He did
approve it ultimately. Mm-hmm. Good. So in lieu of ice grippers, we're going to have safe.
Actually, we got both of those to us as a gift.
Wow!
From API.
Yay! Thank you. That's terrific. So we get a grant, but how we used it is we got a gift of ice grippers for district employees, and then the grant money will go to fixing the pitching mound up at the ballpark tied to the school because we use it, and if a student is injured, it affects us too. So it was a safety deal. So thank you, APEI, for doing that. I hadn't heard for sure that they said yes or no on that. Years ago, it's been about 8 years ago, was our last loss control walkthrough where the insurance company actually came here and we went building by building, room by room, and they came up with the safety concerns. After many years, we might send an invitation to them to come back and see how we're doing. We were just, the guy in Anchorage just said we did a great job. It's terrific.
Cole told me that he is coming this week.
He's coming. So Dan's on top of things with loss control. Thank you so much.
He is our safety guy.
Yeah, terrific. And we love to walk through with that and learn something new all the time. So let me see what else here. Last year, just for fun, our office was able to participate in that financial reality fair that was in the gym. I don't know who else was there, but that was really awesome. A good time. And we usually participate in Mr. Engel's senior class there about personal finance, personal I'm not sure what the title of the class is. Careers. Yeah, so we look forward to that this spring. In the meantime, before we get to that point, though, our applications will have to be in for the renewal of our insurance for the next fiscal year, and I'm predicting that it's been a tough year in the insurance industry in terms of fires, floods aside, and hurricanes. So I'm predicting the property rates are going to go up a little bit, not much, but I'm predicting they're going to be up a little bit. I think that general liability should be fairly stable in the coming year. Workers' comp, the rates came out January 1st, and they're up. Actually, they're down ever so slightly. But with the way our experience modification is rolling along here, we could see just a little bit of an increase for workers' compensation. So I'll talk to Karen in the next 60 days about a budget item for the insurance side of it. But I'm going to say, I hate to say it, but we're going to put a few percentage points up on the insurance side for this next year. So that's about all I had, unless anyone has any other questions or... No? Again, thank you for all that you guys do every week and every month on behalf of the faculty, students, and community.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay, moving into another information item, 16.2, staff evaluation process. On our board master calendar in January, it's a review of the staff evaluation process, and Superintendent Klukaner will discuss the district's process to align with the new state requirements for staff evaluation.
Okay. So the new state requirements are actually the requirements that started to come out around 2015, and they continue to refine them a little bit. I did go through in a pretty detailed way last year, showed everybody last year kind of the online system that we've been working with, and how that's gone. It has been challenging and a bit clunky, the system itself, the online system, not the tool itself. So we have, it's been a love-hate relationship with the company that we were working with, and we are moving to part ways with mm-hmm. them. And so we're in the process of actually modifying that and doing that right now. We're going to finish the year with the program and the system that we have in place, but we're moving to a different product. It's through Frontline, whether that matters or not, but it's actually a solution that we use for other things, like our leave scheduler. When people are gone, they put in for leave, and it calls subs and does all that. So it's been a reliable system. So I guess that's the best way I would say that. We want to stop worrying about the technology and the program, and we want to start focusing on helping staff build on their strengths and improve their instruction. So that's what really needs to be the point of it, and that's what we would like to do more of and stop talking about the clunky technology. So as far as changes, when we embarked upon this journey with the company that we're moving away from, we worked with a framework that's a nationally recognized framework based on Charlotte Danielson's work. That is still the framework that we're using moving forward, and then we're going to work with our teachers on updating our handbook for that, and just no timelines have changed or anything like that, so we're really just refining and then moving over to a new system. So that's pretty much the overview of where we are with it.
And who are all of the people who play into evaluating a teacher? Is it just the principals? Is it
principals, and then we get feedback from our students. And then we are, actually that is another piece, thank you for reminding me that. That is another requirement, is to also have feedback from parents. And we've not had a really efficient way of doing that, and that's one of the things we're working on this spring too. So we have forms for that, but we just are trying to figure out a better way to administer that and receive feedback. So we're working on that too.
Is that only for certified staff?
Yeah. I mean, this teacher evaluation process, we do also conduct, and we're under timelines for evaluating our classified staff as well. And that's by May 1st, I think, with our classified staff. And then certified is there's a requirement if they're non-tenured, they have different requirements. A couple times a year they have to be evaluated formally. Tenured teachers can be on every other year cycle depending on where they are in the evaluation process. And
Do or have we ever had experienced teachers evaluate other teachers?
Well, they can't really evaluate, but there are definitely, definitely mentoring and peer observation protocols, and we have a lot of people that are really interested in that. And we do some kind of modified ways of that, but it's often a matter of even scheduling and figuring out ways to do it in a way that doesn't, makes it easy enough for people to be freed up to go, you know, to somebody else's room, or for somebody else to go into somebody else's to, you know, observe a certain lesson or a certain strategy that might be important or helpful for them. And we do have a lot of people who are very interested in that. And that takes a certain amount of courage, too. You know, you kind of open yourself up to,
right,
you know, and having people in. And so it's nice to know we have people, teachers on staff that are willing to do that. And lots of people with lots of gifts and strengths that, you know, we kind of see because we're in and out of rooms a lot, or, you know, and so we'll think, oh, it would be so great if so-and-so could watch this person manage this group of kids in this way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of take snapshots of people, which could, but, you know, just kind of nice to be able to get people in the classroom. So people are very open to that, very interested in that. And so that takes it less away from an evaluation model. Teachers don't want to evaluate other teachers, but, you know, observing, and there's tools for that. And there's actually a tool that I think you guys have looked at closely in the high school that came out of the advanced ed, the Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
Help me with what you guys were doing, though. My brain is gone.
With the accreditation.
Accreditation, thank you.
The fees we pay for accreditation advanced ed allows us to use their tool. Their tool, the Elliott, was pretty refined from such a multi-million-dollar company. It's highly focused on watching how the students are learning, as opposed to, you know, less so much on how the teacher is moving or writing or whatever.
Yeah. So it makes it, you know, so that's, you're watching and actually documenting and commenting on what the kids are doing and their engagement or their behaviors, you know.
Yeah.
So it kind of takes it away from, oh, well, I saw you do this, or the, you know what I mean? It's not that. It's just, this is what I saw. You know, this is what I observed with the kids, and it's not even evaluative, just here's the information. You might want to know this, you know.
Right.
I think so. It's exciting. I think that's about it, unless there's any other specific questions about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, moving on to 16.3, our school calendar. So, Superintendent Clue Painter, you are the speaker of the night.
This is the show.
You will discuss the 2018-2019 school calendar options.
Okay, so I will. Thank you. I'm not putting anything up right now because I can talk through a couple things here and then just even say this out loud so people know how they're presented today on Campus Connection. But we are in the process of looking for feedback. So one of the things that the last few years, the calendar that we have had has been basically the same calendar. There's often some conversation about potentially not having a spring break. That's a conversation that comes up, or, you know, spreading out maybe some four-day weekends, that kind of thing. There's not so far been a lot of interest in that or favor for that. So this year, we're going to look at it a little differently and put out a calendar that's basically the same as what it is this year. The other possibility is a calendar that starts about a week earlier in August, and Mara's looking at me about year-round school.
Which I actually...
in favor of, but... anyway, that's a way bigger conversation than tonight. So, and actually, I will say out loud, though, that that is something that we did, that did come out during our strategic planning sessions in November, was actually, that's one of the work groups and subcommittees that we do want to have more research and more discussion about other flexible options, four-day week options. When we say year-round school, we don't actually mean 12 months a year, but there are lots of options for looking at schedules that are different, that work for families, that provide, that there's a lot of research behind, that provide better learning opportunities for kids. So anyway, and we have a changing community. I mean, we are still clearly a fishing community and clearly have lots of people involved in that industry, but even that, even the times and dates and things for that change and shift, and we also do make accommodations and that sort of thing for kids that are involved in the industry. So that's part of our migrant education program. So I think as times change and technology allows us to kids to access education in different ways, I think things are changing. Times are changing and things are changing. But I don't know that we're ready to make that kind of a change this month. So that being said, my guess is what we will be doing is looking at a calendar that's literally identical but by one day, or looking at one that does start a week earlier in August and actually does get out right before Memorial Weekend.
So starting around the 20th of August?
Yes.
Like on a Monday?
Starting on a Monday.
And teachers would have to come back the
6th-ish?
13th.
So teachers would only come back 1 week prior? Okay.
Yeah.
The 13th. I agree. It's terrible.
And then being done there.
Cross country gets started before that, though. Those pre
yeah.
Yeah.
And
swimming back.
Yeah, so we already have things going on.
Mm-hmm. What's one...
June 1st. Get out June 1st. What's the big deal?
Oh, Cheryl, I'm going to give you my sock puppet routine, but I'm not going to do it on the radio. So, 26 years of doing calendars. Here it goes. If you put out 3 calendars, you're going to get a third of the people who like them. If you put out 2, you're going to get 50-50. I'm just saying. So
you put out 100.
Exactly. So you put out 100, you'll have 100. So I'm teasing you. But not, because I've actually have done this for 26 years, and I've been on calendar committees in every district I've been on. So there will be people who will be happy with it. There will be people who won't. There will be people who want to take a trip, and there will be people who won't. And
we're going
to
do what
we just work
do.
With people. That's what we do. And I come to work whenever the calendar tells me to come to work. And that's what we do.
I do have one thing.
Okay.
That a couple people have mentioned. Well, more than a couple.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we have Halloween off. Mm-hmm. And they're like, why can't we have the next day off?
Well, we always do that when it works for the calendar. We do, but we didn't this year because Halloween was on a Tuesday.
Right.
So no. Oh, we do it because next year
it's gonna be
the days will be first and second for in service. No school for kids. See,
I don't have to worry.
There's a plus.
On Thursday, Friday.
There's a plus. People will be happy about that one. I love calendars. I really do.
It's great.
Thank you. Anyway, if people do, I really do mean that. If people are out there and feeling like there was really something that worked really well or didn't, or have really strong feelings about something, let us know. Let me know. Let Mara know. That
I, as a parent, mm-hmm. really like that all the finals are done before Christmas break.
Okay, and there's been feedback about that.
I mean,
both
that's
ways,
nice.
So that's
they didn't have to stress
helpful
about
to know as well.
Study or I thought that was nice.
Great.
And if
thank
we
you.
Kept with the same way, that would be putting us out in December on December 21st.
Yeah.
As last day.
Yeah.
That's your last day.
That's not bad.
No. Christmas Eve on a Monday.
It's a Monday.
Christmas on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You still have time to travel.
Exactly. And there's pluses and minuses like that. Some people really liked having the Christmas kind of early in the vacation and having time after to just kind of decompress or travel. Some people didn't like it because they wanted to be able to go. So it's...
Calendars.
Exactly, first world problems. Yeah. There are way bigger issues than calendars.
Sorry, yes, there is.
It's true. There are way. The other thing, I'm sorry, on the week earlier in August and bumping everything back a week, one of the reasons for that too, though, was time that the first semester was tight for finishing up finals before Christmas. So that, I'm sorry, I forgot to add that. Why a week earlier? That was one of the reasons, right? Is that correct? Some of your conversation in the high school.
It makes it a lopsided year, at least in the.
Yeah, it's a little bit tight on the first semester and this second one.
Get everything done, and then you got a bunch of extra time on the side, and you're trying to make those classes equal. And it's pretty crazy.
So a week earlier would work better.
For that,
for the high school.
But then there will be another issue that won't work. So
I just want to make sure what you
think of it right now.
There will be an issue.
Well, because you think about for fishing,
yeah.
my son missed the first week of school, so then he's going to miss possibly 2 weeks of school. Mm-hmm. And that was really hard to catch up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, as a parent, I'm thinking of that.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
There's just all sorts of stuff.
There is.
But it'll all work out.
All right. It does.
Okay.
And we will work with families and kids.
It'll work out.
So we look forward to passing that.
The goal is to have a
draft
recommendation for you
February.
By February meeting.
Okay.
So that's the goal.
You have some time to weigh in.
Yep. So let us know or let me know.
Send some emails.
Yep.
All right, so moving on to discussion about the AASB February Leadership Legislative Fly-In, which is February 10th and 11th in Juneau. That is the time when the Alaska Association of School Boards brings school districts together to go to Capitol Hill and speak to their legislators and other legislators, at the same time. It's like a swarm. You swarm Capitol Hill with all your educational...
And they love to see us.
Yeah. They're so inviting. So we're just having discussion as to whether we would like to send anyone to that or if anyone is interested in going.
We've gone, I went a few years ago, but I don't know. Did you go last year?
I did go last year. No, I did not go last year.
No,
I went
before
the previous year.
Okay, so
it's been a couple years.
Yeah, it's been 3 years since I went.
It might not be a bad year to do it because they are really trying to focus on making some decisions sooner
especially
than later.
Push on the
and some of the
bill
classes
to separate school funding.
Yeah,
the rest of the budget.
So I mean, being able to really make have maybe some input on that, and then there is always still, like you say, really there's good training too. You know, that does go along with that. So
it looks like you would. It starts Saturday. Is that what I
said? Friday.
Friday.
Isn't it the
9th? Saturday the 10th.
Oh, the 10th.
And then you then
there's
meet
some courses, or you know, there's some training
on
some
Monday
things.
And Tuesday, so we have a school board meeting at night. We'd have to be back.
I think they have previous training, like new board
members.
Is there
a day
fly
prior?
In the day before or something.
Oh, on Saturday, for Saturday.
On the
so it doesn't really start till Sunday. I didn't look at
No. Saturday
or
is for
maybe on the Friday, you're thinking. Is
And then Sunday, they don't meet with legislators. And then on Monday is when they recommend that you get appointments, that you already have appointments set up on that Monday, and then also open till Tuesday if it takes you that long and if you're in town that long.
Okay.
We're not generally in town that long, but people who are coming from some of the far western or northern regions can take And there is also a youth fly-in at the same conference. If we did have an interested student that would want to attend the youth conference.
That might be good, too.
Are one of you interested in going?
Are you interested in going?
No.
I can see if I can go. I think it's helpful if it's more, I don't know. I got a lot out of it when I went 3 years ago, more than me. But it was also just making contact with both of our senator and representative, and then keeping that dialogue up with them throughout the year. And some of it's just because they finally meet you.
Yeah. There is something about the face to face that is.
And then having some pretty fortunately, one representative is no longer in the house. She was gone after, I think she got recalled actually, but having some really strange conversations of what they thought was, and having, I guess, the opportunity to really, for some of them, say, no, that's not going to work. This is why.
Yeah.
And some of them actually listening and others not. But it's maybe a little more of an impact than letter writing.
Or is it better to go in the spring, the later one?
I can never tell. Did you do February or spring?
When I went in February.
Okay.
And last year it was just so deadlocked that it felt
pointless
to go. But have we budgeted it in to travel? We still have space after the conference.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
It's there.
Well, we can think about it and see if it's
But we'll probably need to make a decision soon, so it's not
The registration
expensive.
Mm-hmm.
For travel and everything.
Okay.
Any additional comments from board members? Addendum. I forgot about the addendum. I don't have the addendum. Well, do you have what it's...
Do you want the paper?
Yes, that would be excellent. Because I don't know what we're calling it. All right, 16.5. Retirement acceptance. Joyce Burke Biggs has submitted a letter of resignation/retirement. She has served some time here in Petersburg and in the Alaska School District, so she is ready to move on to new adventures. I make a motion to approve the resignation of Joyce Burke Biggs as of June 1st, 2018, so she will finish out the school year. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah. Irene, will you call the roll?
Mara Lutomsky.
Yes.
Janine Gibbons.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Cheryl File.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
All right, so
thank you, Joyce.
Thank you, Joyce.
Colorado.
Is that what she's doing?
She's moving.
They are leaving town. Okay, now on to any additional comments from board members.
Oh, I have a question.
Yes.
Did we ever get our new van?
That's what I was going to ask, too.
The conversation about the van.
No, we still don't have any van.
What? It was rumored to get on the boat today, is that what Dan said? And so he's going to call them to get on the boat today. He's going to call
from
tomorrow.
Where?
Like what boat?
What
like
boat?
A barge boat or a boat from somewhere to...
On the barge.
Mm-hmm. From Anchorage?
Could be on a skiff.
It has been.
So we'll never use this company ever again, right?
It's a duck kind of boat,
Are they going to pay for the shipping then? That'd be nice.
Be bus,
that's all.
Are we insured for that too?
It's on the list.
Before it gets all
she's riding it down.
School bus on a skiff.
It's coming.
Oh, just in time for the seasons to be over.
I know, exactly. That's what we're at. Frustrating. Good question, though. We just got it today. It's like every time we bring it up, we're like,
Yeah.
Okay.
It does have a fancy feature.
Okay. All right. I'd just like to say I'm here in Canada right now, Haida Gwaii, and there's just a lot of really exciting things that are happening in education that I'm learning about all over the place. So just thought I'd throw that in there.
Well, that's great. Maybe you can bring some interesting ideas back.
Yeah. There's a lot of exciting stuff happening in the world right now. So I think it's a great time for kids to be kids in a way that they're going to be learning so much so quickly.
Nice.
So it's pretty awesome.
Cool. All right. Upcoming meeting and announcement information. So January 31st is the high school play, The Dastardly Dr. Devereaux, which will begin at 6 p.m. On February 1st, we will need to set the board agenda. Is anyone else available with myself on the 1st?
Well, or you can choose
or,
your day.
Yeah.
Is that a Friday?
The 1st is the play also.
Oh. The 31st and the 1st is
okay.
the play.
So Wednesday and Thursday is the play?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm stuck.
I can help.
So is the 2nd Friday? That'd be Friday. That would be the 2nd, right? If we did it on a Friday.
Oh, for the agenda.
Agenda setting.
No. Oh,
yeah, that's
2019. Sorry.
Whoa, a whole year in advance. Wow, you are really organized.
I could do it on Friday too.
Oh, okay. We'll let Jay do it.
Friday the 2nd.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Sounds mm-hmm. great. Do you like it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you go right in the morning?
Sure.
I'm fine right after drop off. So
okay. It's fun.
8:20.
Sounds good.
Does that sound good?
Yep.
On February 2nd?
2-2.
It's Groundhog Day.
Campus connection on the 13th. I have 0 dots on my iPhone for the 13th, so I'm sure I can fill it. Fill it in with something. So I can do campus connection.
That's assuming you're not flying back from Juneau.
I'm not staying till Tuesday. Goodness.
Well, but you probably would stay till Tuesday.
Oh, to meet with them on Monday.
Yeah.
Gosh, can't we fly to Harris or something?
Maybe. You can see what time theirs are.
You can see a ferry.
Actually,
well, right now I'll be on.
Okay.
Tentative. February 9th and 10th will be the last home game, homecoming, for the basketball teams. So be sure to attend that. And then on our regular school board meeting, February 13th, we will have student recognition at 6:30, and then our school board meeting at 7 p.m. Is there any other announcements or dates to add for the good of the cause? Any future agenda items?
Bus?
Okay.
Sorry. We want a ride.
I know it. We'll give you a ride.
Come pick
bus
us up.
Horn. Calendar, I guess, probably should be on there.
Yeah, calendar.
All right. Then I move to recess to executive session for subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, provided that the person may request a public discussion, more specifically, superintendent evaluation finish-up. Is there a second?
I like that.
I'll second.
Seconded by Jay.
Oh.
Irene, take the roll, please.
Sarah Holmgren?
Sarah, yeah.
Jay Lister?
Yeah.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Janine Gibbons?
Yeah.
Mara Lichonsky?
Yes. All right.
Okay. I guess I need to take that Robert's rule.
We're recessed.
I guess I need to take that Robert's rules. Giraffe.